B. Don't look for the precise and the local. Simply, don't be narrow-minded. The great discoverer Pasteur, who came up with the notion that chance favors the prepared, understood that you don't look for something particular every morning, but work hard to let contingency enter your working life. As Yogi Berra, another great thinker, said, "You got to be very careful if you don't know where you're going, because you might not get there." Likewise, don't try to predict precise black swans. It tends to make you more vulnerable to the ones you didn't predict. My friends Andy Marshall and Andrew Mays at the Department of Defense face the same problem. The impulse on the part of the military is to devote resources to predicting the next problems. These thinkers advocate the opposite. Invest in preparedness, not in prediction. Remember that infinite vigilance is just not possible. C. Seize any opportunity or anything that looks like opportunity. They're rare, much rarer than you think. Remember that positive black swans have a necessary first step. You need to be exposed to them. Many people don't realize that they're getting a lucky break in life when they get it. If a big publisher, or a big art dealer, or a movie executive, or a hotshot banker, or a big thinker suggests an appointment, cancel anything you've planned. You may never see such a window open up again. I'm sometimes shocked at how little people realize that these opportunities don't grow on trees. Collect as many free, non-lottery tickets, those with open-ended payoffs, as you can. And once they start paying off, don't discard them. Work hard, not in grunt work, but in chasing such opportunities and maximizing exposure to them. This makes living in big cities invaluable because you increase the odds of serendipitous encounters. You gain exposure to the envelope of serendipity. The idea of settling in a rural area on grounds that one has good communications in the age of the internet tunnels out of such sources of positive uncertainty. Diplomats understand that very well. Casual chance discussions at cocktail parties usually lead to big breakthroughs, not dry correspondence or telephone conversations. Go to parties. If you're a scientist, you'll chance upon a remark that might spark new research. And if you're autistic, send your associates to these events. D. Beware of precise plans by governments. As discussed earlier, let governments predict. It makes officials feel better about themselves and justifies their existence. But don't set much store by what they say. Remember that the interests of these civil servants is to survive and self-perpetuate, not to get to the truth. It doesn't mean that governments are useless, only that you need to keep a vigilant eye on their side effects. For instance, regulators in the banking business are prone to a severe expert problem, and they tend to condone reckless but hidden risk-taking. Andy Marshall and Andy Mays asked me if the private sector could do better in predicting. Alas, no. Once again, recall the story of banks hiding explosive risks in their portfolios. It's not a good idea to trust corporations with matters such as rare events because the performance of these executives isn't observable on a short-term basis, and they'll game the system by showing good performance so they can get their yearly bonus. The Achilles heel of capitalism is that if you make corporations compete, it's sometimes the one that's most exposed to the negative black swan that will appear to be the most fit for survival. Also, recall from earlier Ferguson's discovery that markets aren't good predictors of wars. No one in particular is a good predictor of anything. Sorry.